It's cold out. And if I could, I'm going to ask everyone to move over so we have a little better view and setup of the two presentations tonight. So this will be for the reports A and B presentations. For those that are here, we do have agendas that are out. We'd like to grab one.
Hey, how is Florida?
Sector, which we'll get to in a
that partnership. Partnerships like this have worked very well in our CAP program. It's very similar to what we're doing with an articulation with the community college and the SUNY program. And programs like job shadowing and such through the counseling offices that we do. Project Lead the Way has those components as well. There are presently 46 states and DC and in England that participate in Project Lead the Way. There are phases of Project Lead the Way that we're interested in taking a look at. The first set are called foundation courses. And some of these courses we actually touched on in our old technology program. Introduction to Engineering and Design, or in New York State, it's referred to as DDP, which is Drawing, Designing, and Production, is something that we had a taste of when Doc was here. And also, Digital Electronics was something that we had a taste of when Doc was here. In Project Lead the Way, those courses, the Introduction to Engineering and Design, Digital Electronics, and Principles of Engineering, are courses that are required before any of the students take any of the specialized courses. What kind of student would be interested in being a pre-engineering student? I just ask you, take a look at this list and see if you find yourself in high school anywhere on this list. That list speaks to an awful large population of our students. I know that when I look at that list and I think of myself as a high school student, I could fit into a number of those categories. So we're not really trying to be restrictive in our approach to this pre-engineering program. It really is a rather inclusive group because engineers come of all shapes and sizes, as you can define as displays of aptitude for art, design, and concept. So there's a large variety of the types of engineers that are required and needed to meet the need in our country. So we're not trying to be exclusive by any means. When we look at the key research findings, these numbers represent students that have participated in a Project Lead the Way program. So when we read the first bullet, it says 80% of the seniors attend a college or a community school compared to 65 nationwide. That 65 would be students that didn't participate in a Project Lead the Way program. 54% enroll in engineering or an engineering technology compared to 10%, which is, once again, addressing that shortage that we have. Over five times the number of students enroll in an engineering program at a secondary university level compared to 10%. That's exactly what we're trying to address. 19% attend community college or technical school. I think out of all of these, the last one speaks loudest to me. Depending on what side of the fence I want to stand on, if you were to say to me, well, Garth, how well do your high school students do when they get to college? Do they stay? Are they equipped to be able to manage and navigate through the waters of college requirements and education, a living on your own, and maturity and responsibility, and all those choices that face freshman college students, if I'm when you take a look at those courses, and these courses that are listed are the same courses that I showed you earlier on, the foundation courses and some of the specialized courses. Now, we're talking about Rochester Institute of Technology, one of the nationally recognized engineering programs. Students, if we are accredited with Project Lead the Way, our high school students that take these courses can get our IT credit for $200 a class, which is $50 a credit hour. $50 a credit hour. You can't get $50 a credit hour at Clinton Community College. Okay? An undergraduate class, any of these classes here list in that list, undergraduate courses at RIT would be well over $2,000 a class. That's the power of the articulation with RIT. Next steps. These would be the things that you'd want to be doing between the beginning of the school year and virtually now. Most of those things I've already accomplished. I visited Saratoga High School, it's a 2,000 student high school that is participating and has been participating and is accredited in Project Lead the Way for a number of years now. I visited a local high school, Plattsburgh High School, who has an affiliation with Project Lead the Way, but they are not accredited because they're not teaching enough of the courses and haven't done so and haven't had all the teachers that are teaching those courses trained at RIT during the summertime. So I've done some school visitations. I'm here talking to you about Project Lead the Way today. I wanted to be here last Tuesday, and if I had been, I had scheduled my FSO and shared decision-making committees that meet in the high school, and I was going to do this presentation and share this presentation with them as well, so that we'd be talking to parents, and then this coming faculty meeting, this coming Tuesday the 13th, I'll be sharing it with my faculty at our high school faculty meeting. We've discussed, and I can get to more detail about the courses that we'd like to offer. The superintendent and Mr. Lambert and I have reviewed the equipment and supplies, and we have a four-year plan that I'll be presenting to you shortly. One of the things that they're requiring us to do, if you were to be a part of Project Lead the Way, is your counselors need to attend training so that we can better address the question, would this be a good fit for me? Is this something my child should be involved in? What kind of student should really be in Project Lead the Way? Course selections, as you know, occur through the counseling office, so the counselors have to be on board as to what the criteria of the programs are, what the expectations are, and what are the outcomes. By March 15th, we would be asked to register with Project Lead the Way as a district and register our teachers that would be expected to go to training in the summer. We'd have to submit our agreement. By June, we have to have our teachers registered, and they would attend that teacher training in July. Yes.
On this a little, just I don't know if you said it or missed it. We're talking for next year, so we're not talking about this
month. Next week.
No, right. Yeah. So just again, yes. This is the plan that you talked about.
We're looking at implementing if we were to go
next fall,
September of 08.
Right. Yes.
Not September of 07.
Correct.
September of 08. So we have all of next year be acquiring all these things.
You get accredited in order.
Does the school pick up the cost for credit?
No, that would be something that the students, if they would want that credit, they'd have to apply for that and pay for that themselves, much like our CAP credit.
But they'd still get credit for it being in school.
They get,
but if you want the college credit, they would have to.
Right.
One last question.
Yes.
Do they take a separate exam to get the accreditation to the university, or do they accept our grade?
The first step is that you'd have to have an 85 or higher R grade in the class. And then you would have to take an exam that would be like a course final. And based on how well you did on that would be your grade that you would receive on your transcript from RIT. So if you scored above a 90, you'd have an A in the class. And if you scored above an 80, you'd get a B in the class. But your overall average for the class, if it was 85 or higher, would allow you the opportunity to apply for the credit. But you would have to take the final exam in that class as well.
Now, is there a possibility that any other engineering schools would accept those credits, or is this strictly a
knowing that we had the vacancy, knowing that we wanted to move in a direction different than what we had in the past. Between the high school budget and the educational technology budget, we would need $33,384. That is presently already encumbered between Mr. Lambert and my budget. The money is already there to build the lab to do this, and it's in this year's budget. For us to roll out the first series of foundation courses would be, once again, not September of this coming school year, but September of 08. The first class would be the introduction of engineering and design, and the equipment for that would be $1,110, and the teacher training is $4,098, which means a year from this September, I've needed an additional $5,000 to be able to do the first class.
Are you going to address space like another slide?
Space is, we're in really good shape because those big shop classes, we had a full-size metal shop and a full-size wooden shop. The amount of space that we need to do Project Lead the Way is less than what we currently have occupying in those spaces presently. That was one of the largest things of going to visits and seeing how schools are doing. And I wanted to see what their lab space looked like and how they laid the room out, what the design of the lab itself was. So that was a huge worry that was removed because we have the space. It wouldn't require any additional building. We'd have to modify what we've got. The digital electronics class and the principle of engineering are the other two courses that are foundation courses. And you can see the cost that would be accompanying those two courses. Between those two courses would require, between training and equipment and supplies, an additional $30,000.
All one-time expenses.
Absolutely. Once we're up and running, it's consumables like any other class that we're running.
If a teacher trains in the summer,
yes.
Are we going to then have to pay also above contract salaries? And if so, is that included? That's just workshop fee, right?
No, that is going to be. That's a good question. In all those teacher training lines. The training for the introduction to engineering and design and the principles of engineering, the top and the bottom one, are 10 days worth of training. That cost includes hotel, food, transportation, and the stipend for the teacher, and the registration for the RIT.
What about if the teacher doesn't, or the teacher wants to get paid their salary because they're working?
No, in that is $100 a day stipend built into that for the teacher. That's what the agreement would be.
That's what the current agreement is.
So when we take a look at what the cost is for teacher training, that's all inclusive. Getting there, registration, and the stipend for the teacher.
Is that per teacher, or is that?
That's per teacher. A single teacher.
September 08, how many teachers would be sent?
One.
So there's one teacher going each for each.
It'd be right at September 08, I'm envisioning one teacher going to training and us being able to run the introduction to engineering and design class, because that class has to be taken by a student before they can take any of the others. So they're sequential. Now, it doesn't matter if you take digital electronics next or the principles of engineering. You can't take either of those until you've taken the introduction of engineering and design. So it's possible that the summer between 08 and 09, the same teacher goes back and is trained in the other two, so that one teacher could teach all three based on the enrollment that we've got. Because in our contract, teachers can teach up to three different preps, and that would be three different preps. So we could do this figuratively with one teacher. My vision is that we'd have greater enrollment than that and would require possibly a second teacher. Now, Saratoga, once again, another reason for visiting, Saratoga High School is doing this entire project program. They run all the foundation courses. They run one of the specialized courses and then what they refer to as the capstone course. And they do it with three full-time teachers, and their population is 2,000. So I really envision us being able to do what we're wanting to do with no more than two.
Okay.
specialized courses and the capstone course. Now, my nephew, which is my brother Miles' son, who teaches here, is a freshman at RPI this year, and he's an engineering major. He had a taste of Project Lead the Way at Plattsburgh High School. Wishes he had more of an experience. His father wishes he had more of an experience, but he got enough of an experience that when he looked at going to colleges, he wanted to go to an engineering university, and he's at RPI. And the freshman year, the class that he took was Engineering Design and Development, that capstone class. I think it's a tremendous opportunity that we have. We have the space. We presently have the line that the teacher already budgeted. We've already got the money for the lab set up in this year's budget. We've got to give them time. This is the one time that I'm standing in front of you, and I don't have to use the analogy. We're trying to change the tire on the moving car. The car is stopped. At a retirement, we have the chance to refurbish our labs. Funding is in place. All we need to do is have the vision and the commitment to see it through. I really, truly believe this gives us a chance to redefine what we are as a high school, this free engineering program. That's the last slide. Gary just asked a good question, and one of the questions, and it's a commonly asked question, is what happens to the students in regards to our pre-vocational programs? What happens to carpenter skills? What happens to small engine repair? What happens to all those things? We still are presently sending 60 to 65 students every single year to CV Tech, and that is not an expectation to change. I think they're better equipped and have a facility that exceeds any facility that we can begin to build that could match a pre-vocational program. What we were trying to do here was have a pre-vocational and a pre-engineering, and I'll use the analogy, we were kind of like a jack of all trades and a master of none. We didn't do a really good job of either one of them because we'd spread ourselves so thin trying to be everything and anything. I'd really like to take this time to try to focus on the pre-engineering piece, something that we haven't been. And it still doesn't eliminate or deter any student that wants to go into a trade at all, because we still support that through our CV Tech program.
Are those 60 slots enough that people will apply for?
Yeah, we budget 60 to 65. I don't ever remember having to tell a child that they can't go.
So why don't we send this program to POSI? POSI doesn't have this program?
No.
Why do we need this and this but not?
Well, one of the things that's a benefit to having this, and that's a legitimate question, is that there are a lot of kids walking the hall that are taking AP courses that, because of the convenience of having it right down the hall, will probably take an engineering class just for, hey, let's see what that's about. Whereas they don't have to make a commitment to a half-day program every single day for 2 years to go to CV Tech. So the idea of having it being in your building kind of hooks some kids that might not be interested and say, no, I don't know if I'd be an engineer. I take the chance, if it's down the hall across from, you know, my math class, to probably try that class. Whereas and I don't have to make a huge commitment to being half day to your program.
I was just wondering, you've probably done this, and I didn't see it, but I looked for it in documents in this way. But wouldn't it be less expensive to do it here in the long run than to induce those kids as well?
Yes. It'd be cheaper for us to do it here than send people to BOSIS. For every student we send to BOSIS, it's a price tag for CV Tech of $10,000 to $12,000 based on what program they go to. Whereas if we had one teacher teaching two, possibly three of these foundational courses, hopefully that teacher would have close to 80 students running through his or her room every day at the cost of a single FTE. That's a pretty good return on the money.
Does tell you why they haven't been accredited yet, or do they have a projection of when they're going to get accredited?
The vision died.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is, the vision died. They're teaching one of the foundational courses, and they run digital electronics every other year. So by the way, be careful, it doesn't look so much that all that expensive or so difficult to jump in, but the water gets deep, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. They never said that was a concern.
Is there any kind of hard copy kind of stuff that we can take and look and digest and all that before making a decision from what they're told of?
I've got all kinds of information about that.
You know, their outcomes, their feedback, you know,
there's a lot more information.
Oh, yeah. This is just the overview for budgeting purposes.
I just want to thank you because this is exactly what they're talking about at the New York State School Boards in New York City, that the people got up to spoke because of that book, The Flat World. And it comes out of this that if we don't go ahead with something like this, our kids are not going to be skilled for any type of job because, as you can see in the automotive industry and things like that, they're laying off those because those long line jobs are not going to be available anymore. And this is what we need for these kids. And if we're going to see a vision, and I think that you saw the vision or whatever like that, it's these type of things that we need to implement in order to make our children skilled in a new work world. Because that's why we're losing out on it. That we are totally losing. They said that. We're losing ground. And this could put us up to ground. Maybe it's not going to be all over.
I guess what Gartner was talking about, to do this right, it does take time to plan. Because the teachers all have to be trained, and you have to get the kids psyched up into it. That's what we're saying. We're giving you the heads up now. But the idea is we have the year to get the lab straightened out, to get it all electrically done what we need. There's probably then going to be additional space for Gartner to use his classrooms, knowing that we might, as it starts kicking in next year, we start to look for the person to hire, maybe Dr. Davis's spot, and get the teacher. So when the training starts, we have all the people online. So again, so you know that that position is still in the budget. That's why we want to leave it in the budget, because we have plans on doing this as long as we get kind of a nod from the board. But if not, then there's nothing for the kids to take.
The other piece of that, and we haven't mentioned it, it's a good point here, is that we're also at the high school really trying to develop a program that would tie into what we're doing in the middle school. And this does that. If we had talked about Project Lead the Way before we had built the middle school lab, they've got a middle school lab that you could buy from Project Lead the Way. It's very compatible to what we're doing in the middle school as well. They're pods, you know, they're modular systems. They all have problem-solving skills built into teamwork and all those things that we had talked about earlier on that, you know, what would make a good Project Lead the Way student. Those are the same types of attributes that we're looking at developing in our middle school program. If we hadn't changed the way that we were teaching technology in high school, there really wouldn't have been a very good connection between what we were trying to accomplish in the middle school program and what we were doing in the high school program. And that's another one of those opportunities that I'm saying that we're kind of blessed in a sense that timing is on our side. It really is.
Since this is probably a result of our need for engineers nationally, is there any kind of major grant that you can get because this? Because basically you're putting it out.
Not that I'm aware of, no. It doesn't mean that there aren't things that we could pursue, but no, not anything that I've read or talked to anyone about. There are probably technology grants out there, but some of this money goes as well, right? Yes?
Just, I certainly wholeheartedly agree with Jane, and this is great that someone does have a vision. But in terms of long range planning, we do have a space available now in school. We're looking at projected enrollment in the future, potentially that kind of thing. Has anything been done through your office to say what are our needs for a space, classroom issues, taking up too much space here that might be active, other demands on for that space?
Actually, the truth be known, I gained space back by doing this. If we move to a Project Lead the Way format, the amount of space that I need to teach technology this way is less than what we had committed to those shops prior.
I understand that, but we have other groups lining up saying I need the space for something.
Oh, I'm actually hoping that we can build two Project Lead the Way type computer labs and still have some of that old shop space to build an additional classroom or two.
That's what the space is. It almost takes up the whole wing. You know, it's like two monster rooms plus a section almost looks like you could take one of the big rooms and do that, have all that left over to convert to, we're talking possibly 2 to 3 classrooms, and still have room to do the labs.
So, the plan is to get
that's what we've been looking at.
Games project, redo space, and some additional classrooms as well. I do breathe a little bit easier knowing that, the eighth grade class presently coming into high school next year is smaller than, but then last year's class, it was like 30 students, a whole section, smaller. And it looks like, our enrollment's dropping off a little bit. So looking at the projected enrollments, I'm breathing a little bit easier because for a while there, every year it was 40 more students and then 40 more students, so.
The reserve is there, correct? They put in all these new places that they've got on the map, we're looking at a good chunk of people.
Right now, until that happens, our enrollment's.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can't, it's just projection. Is that it, sir? Do you have another one there? You good?
That's it.
Any other questions for him?
Thank you very much, Mark.
Mark, Mark, we'll have handouts, we'll get you, we'll go back to the table.
Thank you, everyone.
I wish you'd have had that one.
I'll stay. Cute. Healthy. Healthy.
Very helpful. We were concerned there at first, he was losing some weight. He jumped down.
Budget, yeah.
No.
Somebody would do budget. Oh, you're doing a presentation?
Presentation, then go back to the budget. This is just another presentation. We have a presentation before the next. Come on back, come on back. Thank you, Mr. Bichette. All right, next one, construction drives the budget. This is to kind of frame up and put some things in perspective to show you why we're asking for some of the things that we've asked you for, like in the reading series and other areas. So I just want to kind of do a recap on some of these things. So instruction driving the budget is that we have a lot of instructional concerns and issues that we want to make sure that we stay focused on, and I know you are also. And so one of the things we looked at, and it goes back to the reading program and how we prepare kids from middle school and high school, if they can't read and have a problem in fourth and eighth grade, it just goes on and on. Just to remind the board that, as far as we're concerned, the money that we allocate for programming is really what we're talking about for instruction. And when we looked at that, again, this was in the 06-07 budget, based on the old way you divvy it all up, not the cost center, this year's current budget, at least 75% of it goes to the stuff in the program for all the kids. And then, again, that's salaries everything. That's your total budget here. Just kind of reminding you about that. Now, our school district is second largest. This is the data we get that's reported from BOCES. There's always like a year lag and all this stuff. So if you look at the numbers, sometimes it doesn't match. But this is what BOCES uses, and I put it together this way to show you that out of our component school districts, we're the second largest. But what do we do per pupil spending compared to the group? This has been updated. We're the second lowest per pupil spending for total expenditures. That's what we're trying to be focused on. So it is kind of interesting. Yeah, that is correct. We go back and we have second largest enrollment. Second lowest. JC is a little bit different because they get money from, there's something else going on with them. So if you kind of don't think about JC, we're really at the bottom for, this is total expenditures. And this is comes off the SED statistical profiles. Again, there are a couple years lag in the data, but that's what they use when the researchers do their work. They pull this up and that's what it shows. Clinton County average is 12, we're still below the average. ELA grade 4. These are our results. Now, looking at this, the thing on the bottom is the red. This is, you know how we do level 1 through 4? Red is bad, that's level 1. Yellow, that's what this color is through here, is not cool, that's level 2. All the kids are supposed to be at level 3, which is the competency area, and level 4. So if you're looking, now these are different kids, but it doesn't look real great. The idea is these bars should be all green. You don't want any red, and ideally no yellow.
With that, wrong way. Grade eight. Practical. And again, the red is, that's what I said, red you stop, yellow is caution, that's not good either, green is go. We wanna get everything to go green.
But actually, you want dark green together.
Well, that would be the ideal situation, but the state is saying that level three is the competency they want all children to be. And I guess that's our, again, just reminding the board, we're talking about budget and why we need this reading series, because the fourth graders go into eighth grade, you go, okay, that's kind of, you know, different. Oh, yeah, so what we're really looking at is over the past 6 years, fourth grade student scores are flat, you saw that, nothing really changed much, right? And eighth graders are not improving. Now, it's a little bit harder to see it because they're not the same kids when you're looking at all the fourth graders and not the all eighth graders. So you know what you have to do to really figure it out? Line them up next to each other. There they are. Kids in fourth grade went to eighth grade in 99-2003. Big bands in yellow, not good. You're about flat, not real good. Look at the fourth grade class. Now, this is really the eighth grade class of 2004. They got worse. So it used to be 30% were not so good in level two. Now we have 41%. And the green, where you had 51%, which is better, got smaller.
And those are the same students.
Same students. Okay, that's why I did the charts this way, because it's hard to see the other way. It just kind of looks flat. When you look at it this way, it's not flat, because look at our 2005 grade 8 students, and look at what they did. Now, they were better in elementary school, but again, if we're not meeting, that's what we're looking at the reading series and reading in the middle school. Now, 30% did make it, basically, level 2, not good. Now we have 67%. The longer they stayed in school, the worse they got. That's what that means. Now, we're not 100% sure why, and that's what we've been talking about with the staff. And actually, we have a lot of good ideas of what's been going on, and we're trying to correct those. Some of that is part of our budget proposal, but those are the same kids. So I just want to back up a minute.
So on the question, is there a region statewide, that same trend happening all over the place, or is that what's happening here?
This is what's happening here. These are our kids. And like other school districts could have different problems at different levels, but these are our kids. I guess right now, I can go back and look, and this wasn't meant to be a giant instructional one, and I can do that later. Regionally, I think out of the component school districts, I think it is in math, or maybe like in the middle, and in reading, we're a little below some. We're not the worst in the county, but we're not the best. There are other school districts around us that are better in both areas. We're not the cream of the crop. So we have a lot of improvement to do internally, and if we can do that, we can end up being one of the best in the area. Some of these things, the state does change the exams. But now, statistically speaking, this is significant. So you could say you had a bad crop of kids, you had something change on the exam. The bottom line is there's too big of a difference. And if you go to, let me get back this up. It's the hard part of the roller. If you look at that, see, that's flat. Year after year, different kids. They're not getting much better. You have an instructional problem. That's really what it means. And see, that's when you look at it this way, you look, okay, some of the kids aren't making it, some, this doesn't look too bad until you start comparing what happens long term. Just like then when we get to the eighth grade, well, you can see this looks worse. It did look better in fourth grade, but okay, so maybe they, maybe it's the crop of kids. Sorry, when you get into this, when you see that, it's more than just on the surface. That's why we need to do the reading program and remedial reading in the middle school. Let me show you something here. Now, what are we doing and how are we trying to fix this? This is what we have been working on for the past 3 years. A lot of times I haven't given you things because we're trying to finally put them together. And so for 3 years we've been assessing where the district has its current state. What do we do instructionally? Because we're trying to figure out, we know we have a problem, everybody sees the scores, but people are working real hard. There are a lot of good things going on, but like you have a lot of kids do real well, a bunch of them kind of not do well, then it looks flat again. So we've been looking at those things. What we're trying to work on next is, once we figure out where we are, where should we be? And that's what we've been pushing.
must have this information done. So then that's what we're trying to do, is to develop a plan of action so we can evaluate this, because it's not okay to see those scores get worse. And then we have problems in the high school if the kids can't read.
Is this the book that you want us to get, the 280,000, is that?
That's some of it that will help correct this, yes, because we have identified things, and I'm gonna show you how we identified some of these. The current state, what we did, and you have done this already, we had given you, we identified the software, the textbooks, and we called them novels before, that you looked at and adopted, so we could start a program evaluation. What we found out, again, this year, talking to department chairs and going over this with the principals, we don't really have a novel list. What we have is required reading and supplemental. So we're gonna give these back to you one more time, hopefully, corrected, because what we found out, and it's not here, it'll be for another presentation, that required reading in the high school, and I can't remember if you saw it or not, but like in 10th grade or something, there are two books. And they happen to be Shakespeare. And when the department started talking to the staff about, did you guys realize that? We have pages and pages of supplemental reading, but none of them are required. And those are things they're talking about, because wouldn't it be nice to say, kids go through Beacontown, these are the things they're gonna study. And if they're gonna study, part of the reason why they may have a limited number of required reading is because of some of the issues you see in the middle school. So with that, we have developed, and they're almost done, status reports 7 through 12. So K through 12, we've identified all the materials that are currently being used. 7 through 12, we took the subjects, because the elementary buildings are working on the reading and the teachers are generalists. In the high school and middle school, we're looking at subject areas. So here's what we developed. We have these available, 7 through 12. We looked at these areas and said, we need to get information on what teachers currently are using and what they're doing. They're in their final stages of being proofed again, because every time we proof them, we give back to the department chairs, they go back to the teachers and the principals, and we go, oops. Kind of what we said to people is, when we're all done and the board approves this, if a board member walks into your room and they have the sheet, these are the only things you're using because they approved them. You can't use anything else. Little change in attitude, because people thought we really weren't gonna do that. And one of the reasons we found out is because when we looked at it in the elementary building, we found total differences in math and in reading and in science, and some of the chairs didn't realize that either, because there's discrepancies between the buildings and between teachers of the same grade level. Now, the other thing that we did, every status report, 7 through 12, has the subject, say it's English, length of study, so you're gonna see, and quick and easy, it's a one-page piece of paper, that's all this is, it's one sheet, it has a check off, like, well, it says yes if they offer it. Assessments, what I found out asking, remember when we did the textbooks, they said, well, how old are your textbooks? We found some of them that were millions of years old and need to be replaced. Ask the question about local assessments. When was the last time you changed or reviewed with your department your math exam or your English exam or whatever exam that you made up, because we have local assessments here. Totally different discussion. Some of them are old, they need to be fixed. But at least we identified who's using them. State assessments, that's easy, most people know that, but again, this is all in one sheet, so if you're looking at ELA, you'll see that. Curriculum, we said, tell me in this English class, or art class, or phys ed, or music, do you have a pacing chart, scope and sequence, and a textbook that you use? Now, I don't want to get into them now, we'll define them and give you that information later, but that basically guides the teacher, tells them when to do things and how to do things, so if you hire a new teacher, wouldn't it be nice to give them one of these things, because they say, here's what we do in our department, in our school district. We also identified optional. We have enrichment, we have honors challenges. Enrichment is usually in the middle school. And again, this is a middle school and high school. Honors challenges, you're aware of. We have honors, CAP, and AP. We've also identified formally, do you offer academic intervention, which is the remedial stuff, yes or no? So what the board's gonna be able to look at, based on these areas, do they have AIS? Richard, you've asked that a lot. You'll see it. If it says blank, because there's not a yes, then why not? Those are things we started having discussions about with the department chairs and with middle school and high school principal, because you didn't know it until you saw it in one spot. These are all done now, and they're going to be approved, and we should be able to have them available. The next steps that I'm looking at, now that this is almost done, is to have you approve the status report 7 through 12, which is basically saying, we're going to kind of generally agree that this is our curriculum and what we're using at this point in time. All right, and we're also then going to update and reaffirm, now that we have this straightened out, the textbooks and required and supplemental reading, you're gonna look and go, whoa, I didn't know that.
all those materials are going to be. So if you wanted to see a pacing chart or some of the textbooks, we'll have samples of those in one space. So I just wanted, again, this is part of the budget, because what we're looking at is instruction drives the budget. And we need the textbooks, we need the reading teacher, and we need to get this project done, and it is done. So I'm looking at April or May, depends, because you have a lot of budget stuff going on, that we bring this back formally for you to adopt, but definitely before school starts.
One quick question, Mark. Are the department chairs, I know they're working 7 through 12, but are they also working with the principals in the elementary to look at instructional?
One of the things that we said we're trying to put together, once we're done with this, is we looked at putting a curriculum council together. And part of it is they are available, and they've helped both elementary principals about the reading series. And when there are issues about science or math, they're the point person to go down to the building that I have said to them they are K through 12 for instruction, but their primary focus is 7 through 12.
Right, but they still touch base with you.
Yes, but not totally formalized yet. We're trying to work through that. I think, did you have a first, sir?
We have a middle school at 6 through 12.
Actually, that's a typo. It should be 6 to 12. It is 6 to 12. Good point. That's a mistake. That's why these are all drafts.
Good.
Oh, wait, no, that's a good point. Because
maybe
I shouldn't
good.
Give it out to you. Because it is. The status reports are all 6 to 12.
Easy
to
fix.
Yeah. Make sure I get that one back. Because what we said before, see, the status reports are 6 to 12. Thank you. Well, we're looking at the first thing we did, and you'll see it again when we get them back to you. In the elementary buildings, K through 5, we listed by subject what books do people use and materials in the elementary buildings. And we have that. We haven't gotten back yet because since the teachers are generalists and they teach everything, our primary focus, we know we have a reading issue, a consistency problem. That's where we're putting all our energy. Once that's done, the department chairs have already been having conversations about, ooh, we shouldn't use that math book, or those science things are too old. That they're starting to help, but we're not going to do the status reports K through 5 because it would be overkill for the staff. I mean, it would just be too much. It just would be too hard to do. Our primary focus is getting up and running and with the reading and focused approach in ELA, but not give up on it. We're going to deal with that a little at a time, but we don't have the, I guess, it's too much at one time, basically. It'd be overload, right? Really, really large number of special ed kids, so that say, if one group of three or more kids don't make it and live in self-contained, or in the regular ed class, we get trouble as a district. So those are things we're gonna look at, but on the surface, since your numbers are so large, and your special ed population isn't, that's not what's hurting us, even though those kids need help.
We have to address it.
Because we have to address it, that's correct.
We have 12 to 15% of those kids.
Go ahead, Sandy, you wanna chime in?
You know, as elementary principals, Diane and I, of course, study this data quite a bit, truly our problem in this district isn't the special ed, the state is calling us fine, the second special ed area, truly, we don't have an issue there. Where we have that issue with those twos, we have, those yellow bars are way too large, and then on top of it, the amount of threes we have, we should have larger four bars, we should have larger three bars. So we really need to look at moving those children that aren't performing probably to what their capabilities are to that level where they are. That's really where our data, I'd be glad to go through that data with you at length, but if you can just pass Diane and I, that's really where our data is.
Well, basically what I'm saying is, if you're taking so much time away from your regular ed teacher, and you don't have the support in place, then you're really not gonna change that clock, that bar will continue to be worse.
But the things that we're.
So it's not, I'm not saying that you have too many special ed kids that are drawing you down, I'm saying is, some of the special ed kids that are being put into the mainstream of the classroom, okay? And of course, it's very difficult to put that kid in that mainstream and give that support in every case. Puts more pressure on the classroom teacher, which takes away time, because they have to put time into each of those groups. Then if we're not going to address, you know, supporting that to increase the production of all the other kids to keep them going. Because then it's the middle of the road kids that are gonna suffer.
Stan, but our issue right now, I mean, those are really good points. Ours
yes.
is like really fundamental, like step back more. We don't even have the same materials that like if we're all teaching first grade, we're all using completely different materials, we all have a different approach, and if you happen to be better with me, because I interact well with you, I may learn more. What
yep.
we're trying to do is just be consistent in our approach to teaching. That's the fundamental part. So what you're talking about is the next steps, and we're doing both at the same time, but we have to step back and say, okay, everybody's got to use the same stuff first. And that's what this will do in the training. And then it'll make it easier to deal with some of those things, but now it's even harder because it depends on who you get and what they're using. In both buildings, it gets compounded. And it should be, it doesn't matter which building you come from or who you get as a teacher, you should all still be able to learn. And we're just trying to step back and do that piece to get fundamental same stuff. And that's what this approach is. We want a K-5 implementation because that will help resolve those issues. So we're just stepping back even more. Then we can concentrate on all those other things too. But that just makes it harder when it's all over the place. Yeah.
I just have a question. Do these colors correlate to like A, B, and C students, if that's not the way it's set up?
No, it doesn't work that way. And again, I can show you later their state standards. It says a kid that's in a level one, this is what they can do in a level two and three and four. I can give you that if you want that later and have a regular instructional. This was to remind the board that when we start talking budget, and that's our next thing, we are doing right now, our approach is a rollover budget. And our rollover budget is, we think that we, without additional cost to the district, we already have the reading teacher. And we have a couple other things, that's what I want to start to share with you, if we can keep a rollover budget. What it means to me, as I'm wrapping up, because there's no more to the slides, is that we have two elementary positions. One is a retirement, and one was a new hire for 1 year only. We don't want to fill it. And we want to keep them in the budget. And part of that rollover is then we can get the reading teacher in the middle school, and we're also looking, again, these are projections, looking to see if we can take three people out of grants, because heads up tell us that we're going to need to do that, you're going to have to lose three people. So right now, as you look at our budget, and we get into this more, you know, next week or another month from now, we're assuming we can keep all the number of bodies money-wise we physically have and be able to accomplish some of these things. And one of the things that we're looking at is, yes, we have a cover for the reading teacher, and we have a cover, we think, to keep from cutting the people out of grants by moving three people over if we keep the current dollar amount that we have currently budgeted for staff. And that's it. So if we can kind of switch gears and relocate back here, we can go over that. That's, we just wanted to give you this heads up of where we're going with this. I don't want to give you my presentation since they have two grade level typos. Mr. Bichette, if you want
Thanks,
to
George.
Come on, Frank.
Always pick one thing and then you
Good catch, Jim. God. I definitely need more time.
I'm surprised you got prepared and said that.
Yeah, I'll take Joanne sees in both of his that one.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a copy?
Gary, this is your thing here, sir.
Oh, thank you.
I read everything twice.
Right here.
Joanne missed that too, that's fine.
Thanks, Scott.
What is this?
That's what you just gave us.
Your, her, his PowerPoint. But you could go online and stuff and do a project.
But,
I can start, I'll start.
We already had.
I'm gonna give you a newer one. Cause we can change the order, but that's okay.
Mother will be sorry I took that.
He said a lot more of the stuff that I asked about.
Yeah, well, I figured you Google Project Lead the Way.
Lead the Way. I gotta go.
Okay, here's the date.
Okay, what dates you gonna?
Brian's wedding. Renewal. But we're trying to put together a wedding thing because she wasn't gonna have a wedding. So we're putting it together. May 20th and your girls are invited to it. We're having a shower. But maybe we might have to move your place for doing all the wedding vows on the wedding. We're gonna have it at the senior center, the reception.
I'll give you this.
I got the same.
I think it'll be perfect.
After your wedding.
Where you put your two chairs.
Yes, we started executive.
Reflect that although there was only six that were for executive.
Yeah, we've done things there.
No, I'm sorry, seven.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Seven.
And then you have, she's her sister, her sister.
She's 10 in.
Yep.
And then I think I put seven.
Leonard, Richard, and Steve, Richard and Steve out at 6.
Oh, I'm not.
6:59.
No, it's
6:59.
Yes.
So this'll be one of the few.
And then we took a 5 minute break. But that, okay.
Unfinished business after.
Okay, Jane, I'm in.
No, I write to report this. I don't know. There's nothing there. That's where we are.
Is Karen sick?
Please begin.
Let's do it.
Yes, what I wanted to go over, on our agenda, we have other pieces. I said again, this is a meeting to kind of give you an overview of the pieces that we put together that make up the whole budget. And as I can get them, we're sharing them with you. And so to give you kind of a quick overview, ask some general questions, I can help you with that, and then kind of move on. Because it's not the formal budget presentation, it's just bits and pieces. What I have here to give you, for those that are new that haven't seen this, this is our current enrollment. This is how we track this. So as you look through it, you can see, if you're reading it, general ed teachers, core teachers are the regular classroom teachers. Then we have that yellow part, special ed self-contained. So as you read through, you can see Deacon County, Cumberland, and that lets you see what the enrollment is like as of January 27th. That's the date we've always used when we do the budget. So okay, we double check it, reconcile it, that's how it's reported. And again, you can look through this at your leisure, but if I can just flip you through to the second page, down at the bottom, you'll see there's a grand total of the elementary. I'm going to give you another one that's projected, and then later you can compare the two. Our enrollment right now, grand total in the elementary, is 860 kids with 49 teachers. When you do the mathematical average, it's a little under 18 kids. As you go across, you can see the total number of special ed kids in self-contained. So in self-contained, we have 53 more kids, 6 more teachers, a grand total of 913 kids in the elementary building. Now, for new board members, self-contained are only the kids that are with the teacher 60% or more of the time. There are other kids with IEPs, but they're in the regular enrollment number. Okay?
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of that group. Then when you flip, you can see the middle school's current enrollment with the number of teachers at the bottom. They have 24 teachers. Again, these are the core teachers, English, math, science, and social studies. That's the design. Same thing kind of in the high school when we're talking about some of the core, but the high school has more than that, of course. And you can see their average class size and their enrollment. And you can see where the bubble's moving a little. We had 152, 161, 178. Grand total of 491. Not much of a bubble, just a little bit there in his grade.
Can you turn the page again?
All right. If you flip and then go to the high school.
High school, man.
Yeah, there you go.
You can see the high school's enrollment. You can look in grade 9, 222 kids. That's the bigger group. 163, 158, 157, 158 again. So the little bubble that's coming up is the new 9th grade class isn't going to be as big. It's only 178, but it's smaller than 222. All right, so far?
Yep.
But it's still bigger than any other class in the high school.
Say again, please.
It's still bigger than any other class in the high school.
Oh, yeah, big, yeah. But that's how we notice this, and we're tracking to see, do we have the space to accommodate the kids? Because we look at these numbers monthly. And that's where we're tracking them to see that. Because you have to report it for attendance purposes. The last thing looks at total enrollment, 1967, and again, four teachers with 138 kids in self-contained. So our grand total is 2105. Then as you look down on the right-hand side, we also have homeschool kids that are tracking. That's what that is on the side. So 15 kids could return back to the district. So we said we have 36 pre-K. That gives us 2141. We have 32 kids currently that are in CDES. So we add them back in our numbers because they're not with us most of the time. We have one child in residential placement, so our grand total enrollment is 2174. When you look at special ed, 17% of the population has IEPs. There are 358 kids. 187 of them are in general ed, which means they have an IEP. And of that total number of kids, 138 are in our district that we have in placements. Just something to look at. I know it's a lot. You can look at it. And if you have questions about it, you can call. The very last page is, and we found this interesting. I did, because I never tracked it before, and I don't think the board looked at it until I showed it to you. You have 124 kids that could end up coming to Beekman Town. There are kids, and they go different places. Some go to the public schools, which I found kind of interesting. We have 21 kids still in the city of Plattsburgh that are Beekman Town kids. And then you have the kids in the private schools, which, you know, you would think that's probably normal. But I'm surprised the number of students that we have that go to public schools, 29 students. So again, if you had 124 kids show up, depending on what grade level in the bottom, that could be a bump in our enrollment.
Are there any projections for any parochial, other parochial schools to close this year? Because I've heard some rumors. We haven't heard anything for sure. Okay.
Are there any students in our school right now that are from other schools?
Yeah.
Very few.
Are they foster kids? Oh, you talk about tuition?
Tuition.
Yeah.
Very few.
And 3 years ago, we had probably 28.
Yeah.
You have 8 left that people are paying tuition. Okay. Now, this is the current. Now, what we do with this, and I'm going to give you that, but I'm not going to walk through it again, is the next sheet looks exactly the same, but in the right-hand corner it says projected. What we do is we take kindergarten and first grade, kindergarten and pre-K, and say it's the same number. The kids that are in kindergarten, we move that number into first grade. First grade turns into second, and that's what we do with this whole thing. So that's how we figure out, do we have space for next year, and what does it look like? These are the projected numbers that the buildings are using that we went over based on enrollment. So if you looked at the documents side by side, you can see where the enrollment changes and what we're doing with staffing. In the configuration, you're going to notice, because I said this before, there are two less elementary teachers, but you can see what the average class size is going to look like by doing that. Because again, we're not trying to hide anything or do anything that's not good for kids. So we give you all this information up front. Again, what did we do with the private placements? We assumed that the kids in whatever grade they were going to move up to the next grade. Again, that doesn't look at retentions. We assume all the kids that are currently in the grade will move up, and all the kids that are in our district will currently stay. This is a point in time.
I have one.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, we'll send it over to you later.
For you guys to take. Again, this, it doesn't have any mistakes. We don't think these do. This is what we use. Now, the teachers you're looking at are, on this document, are only the core teachers. It's not all the teachers. What you will get it will be done by the time we have our next board meeting, is the actual staffing template that shows you all the bodies. So then you see how many art, music, and special ed teachers we have. This just helps us because enrollment drives staffing because it's class sizes and instruction, and then that then turns into what we're doing with everything. And this is preliminary again. Any questions about enrollment? This takes a long time to reconcile and double check. And I think football, the principals would say, we think we got this 100% because this is how we're reporting it for aid purposes, too. That's what we double checked, and we have a person helping us with this. Do you want a minute to look at this, or?
No.
Move on? The next thing that we have is I gave you initially in your packet the worksheets and something with substitutes and staff development. We found some, it wasn't really complete, so we'd like you to fill this out and bring in the new ones. So what I want to do is, these are the other cost centers that you have not seen. So
what are we,
far.
What are we throwing out?
Those two that I gave you before.
The ones
out.
In the packet?
Yes. I'm giving you newer versions of those.
That says staff development and substitution.
Those are online worksheets. Yeah. Building allocation?
Yep,
building allocation, district office.
Substitutes in this. Yes, we're going to give you these. That's why I keep putting draft on them.
Got two.
So,
yep.
Let me give you the first one. This is the district worksheet.
Yeah, I love the
worksheet. We've got some anxiety working on
it takes away a lot of stress.
All right. So far, we gave you information on revenues and expenditures, bus proposition, and building per pupil. The next group that we just finished that we wanted to share with you are the ones that I'm going to give now. These are the rest of the cost centers from the district-wide office. And what you can see is we changed it a little bit. Right, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
What's that?
So as you look at these,
then I got two pieces of paper to pick up.
But you can look at this. You guys can look at these.
I can't see it.
Remember when we did the budget last time? Again, we're going to pull all this together, the capital and all the program like we normally do. These are the other pieces, so you can start to look at them. Under the Board of Education, you've spent additional dollars that were not allocated, so we increased your budget. And again, that's what we did, having discussions looking at from a business perspective. It's your allocation in Board of Education, so if you want to add or subtract, you can let us know. But right now, based on spending pattern, right, Jen? They needed to have a little more money because you were spending potential more than you had.
Well, that was cut a lot last year, though, as I recall. Because
yeah,
we didn't
you
spend
sure
it last year.
We're low compared to other
yeah,
boards of what we
now,
spend. Because doesn't our dues come out of that, too?
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't our dues, and the dues are like $3,000 for New York
yeah,
State school boards?
$20,000, $40,000.
So,
now again, what's different with this
no?
is the first year with the cost center yeah. approach that you can see it. We tried to put the current and the producer, you can see the difference. It's just making it easier so you can see what we've done with the money. Again, you can look. These are the other ones. Election inspectors, my office, business office. And we separated auditing. And as you flip through to the next pages, you can see collectors, legal, central frame. Now, what we added this time, that wasn't on the other page. It was like this miscellaneous. On the second page bottom, insurance is in there. You can see what we're projecting for insurance.
Yeah,
and in the last page, you can see association dues, refund of property tax, and we put the bonds and the bands there. That's on the very
good.
Last page. So it's just easier to see it in one spot. Before
yeah,
I had a couple different pages. So it's just letting you see cost center to cost center, that this whole, what we're calling district office total, has gone up by $18,000. But that's not that bad considering a lot was tied up in bands and bonds and a whole bunch of other things.
What's unclassified category? I just don't remember.
Who wants to comment on unclassified category?
I feel like miscellaneous.
It's kind of a miscellaneous extra if we need to have some extra funds.
Flush
it's not allocated to any specific purpose.
At some point, though, we can see where we spent that $20,000 this year.
Correct.
Yes.
And we,
okay.
That's, we dropped it because we really haven't needed it.
Thank
so
you.
We didn't budget.
Any other questions about this?
have just one quick question.
Yes.
That's associated with that. When we take it out of there, do we put it in a budget line that is needed when we spend it, or is it spent from that budget?
Classified.
Is it a transfer to move it when we need it, or is it something that just sits and spent from the...
I believe we transfer it out and put it into the appropriate code. Is
okay.
That correct, Jim?
Right. All right.
Have we had any this year?
We have transferred a little bit of money out of it this year, very little.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
We wouldn't spend it out of that code.
Right.
Put it into the code.
It's basically there for like some unexpected expenses that occur in the district
right.
office.
We would have to approve that?
No.
No.
Only if it's over
$2,500.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Anything else about this? And again, if you have questions, please call, because when we do the giant budget presentation, we say, well, how did you come up with that figure from the budget? These are all the pieces that are in there. And what you start to see this pattern is, the stuff that we're giving you does not really increase your budget. I mean, it does a little bit. We're going to show you we have some initiatives that we'd like you to consider when we do this. The next thing that replaces what I gave you before, these are building allocations for staff development. And that's the part where we say how many days they have for substitutes to do testing and all those types of things. I think I did this right. It's just one sheet. Take one and pass it down, please. I have extras here. This is staff development. Now, that's why we asked you to throw out the other ones, because I want to go over this a little, because we separated substitutes and staff development substitutes. Yeah, there should be an extra one. So as you're looking at that, this is what the building controls. These are the site-based allocations. So they have money for administrative conferences, some contractual. Staff development, the teachers have money set aside. Again, we did this based on, you know, fair and equitable ratios. So they have 222 substitute days allocated to their buildings for scoring and staff development and CSE, whatever. They can kind of, they have control over what happens with that. But they can't exceed their total allocation, because that's how their money's going. Now, we talked about this, and we reviewed this all as an administrative group. The numbers appear to be okay, and that's why we're leaving them this way. So if you see there's a zero change, I don't know how we can have a zero negative.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Mr. Clemson, want to make a little...
It's because in order to get calculation to come out to an even dollar, we had to put some fraction of a percentage in there.
Okay.
And that's why it's showing up as a zero.
All right. I might have to explain that. Somebody else asked that later.
We can.
All right. So also then, there's like three components. It's the staff development for administrators, the stuff they have for teachers, and then they have this other money for in-service and conferences. So how much money does Beekmantown Elementary School have? They have $5,500 for their teachers to go places. But they have to remember with their site allocation that includes registration, transportation, meals, and hotel. And so they really are having input into what happens with their money, and that's dealt with in their individual buildings with their teachers. Now, looking at this whole page, you can see we've decreased the amount of money that we needed. So this is, you know, that's kind of good. We're not taking away things we don't need, but we're okay with this. And we double-checked with everybody to make sure they had the proper allocation. Now, this is substitutes only for them when they need them. It's not for sickies and stuff like that when people have to go out. I'm going to give you another one, because, see, again, we're trying to look at the total cost center, because you say, well, why are you spending so much money? That's control. This other part we can't control, and this is our collective best guesstimate of how much money we're going to need to cover substitutes. So on this document, I'm just going to give you a giant bunch. You pass them down. I'll take the extras to this room. You're going to see teacher substitute days. Well, it's only one sheet. So as you look at this, in principles, I don't think you guys have seen this last one either. So this is new for you to look at. Yeah, they all say draft in case we find a mistake on them. What we've agreed so far is we've allocated. Again, we have site-based budgeting, which means if a substitute is out, we have to charge it to the building. That's why these numbers on here, you're going to look. We said we set aside 278 days for the elementary schools for people to be out sick or for personal days. Middle school and high school, you can see the other amounts, $50,000 each. This is based on what people have been using. Again, that's the instructional. That's just for teachers. We tried to factor in maternity leaves and all that kind of stuff. So, but basically, you can see it there. We also had it put in because we just called it teacher grievance days. The elementary buildings have additional personal days that they're allowed to have because of the grievance. That costs $15,000 each building. We have to track that because that's different coding. And so we put it there so when the principals are looking at it, the elementary principals have more money for days because their teachers ended up with more personal days than everybody else, but it cost you a sub, $90 a day, so that's how we did it. Again, the substitute amount that's on here, $90, is the number that you have approved. We are not recommending to increase it. We checked and did a survey with Plattsburgh. We're still okay. Now, unless they change it within a month, we're not recommending to raise it. It seems the principals, I think, would agree. We're getting okay people. We have a pretty good rate of subs. So we're not recommending to change that. Then when you look at the bottom section, it's the non-teacher. It's the rest of us. We've allocated X amount of days and X amount of money to cover these things. Now, that's dollars. It's not showing me days, right, guys? So you have that money set aside because it's all different. And for administrators, we don't get subs. So that's why it's kind of looking at this. So if you look at it, the elementary buildings basically have gone up by $60,000. Part of it, and Jen and I think Ron can help, we had a lot of maternities, and we have anticipated maternities because we have been made aware of that. So we had to up the number for real because if not, you can't go into negative numbers because you have to get the sub. So that's why when you look at the total amount of substitute allocation, it's gone up by $69,000 because of that. And there's not much we can do about it. All right? So this replaced the other one because it was on like squished on one sheet, and it didn't give you all the subs. So looking at cost centers, we can say we showed you all the stuff. We have a couple other pieces because the last piece you're going to see are salaries. These are the things that we can control, hopefully, the number of subs and things of that sort. But other than that, there's where we're going with our cost center so far. Any general questions about these? I have three documents left. One I'd like to give out next is a two-sheeter, what we call the district allocation, the district-wide.
Allocation or initiative?
No, this is not the initiative. We split the initiative separately because we thought it would be different. This is the support that we give to the buildings. So this does not come out of their building allocation. And again, there's this one. BOCES is not done because I do not have the information from BOCES yet. BOCES amount is supposed to go up about 4%.
We have our budget workshop tomorrow night.
Yeah, okay. When I look, roughly I remember this year we spent, and I don't have this yet, and we hopefully, you know, next week we got to make it up to come back. We currently spend $3.3 million in BOCES, and that's for special ed and the general ed stuff, like our Starbase and the technology support infrastructure. So it's $3.3 million. We're going to put in the budget going up 4%. So math is whoever they are, I figure that's a pretty good chunk of money. That has to go up. So does everybody on the board have one of these?
Yep.
All right, so I can give these out to you guys and pass it on. And then you probably haven't seen the latest version. So on this, we put in summer curriculum writing is contractual. There are other things that we've done. In here we put, we're done, we'll get classroom furniture. Again, this was on your budget last year. But you can see we left most of them the same. When we had an opportunity to cut some things, not in a mean way, like Committee on Special Education down $25,000. Why? We looked at the spending, we looked at the projections, we still have enough money to cover it next year, even by reducing it by $25,000. And so we've had those discussions and we've had meetings and spent a lot of time looking at it. Computer-assisted educational technology cost center. If you look at that, talk to Gary again. Even by reducing some of those numbers, we're okay. We have all the stuff we need. We have all the things we can do for what Gard gave his presentation on. And what we're trying to say to people, we have a basic base budget. This is what we need to keep our current programming, and we're trying to be upfront and honest, and if we don't need it, say, okay, we can reduce that, because we're trying to help the taxpayer. We're not saying keep it the same and roll it over. My speech to the group is, okay, guys, what can you cut? Set it aside, and if you need something else, use that money to replace it. If you don't need it, then just let it go, because that keeps the taxes down for everybody. Go ahead.
So this $125,000 on the textbooks would cover the new ones we want to get?
Yeah, now the textbooks, let me flip to that page. What we did is textbooks.
First page.
Instruction. Oh, yes. Textbooks, I told you I thought we had about $80,000 less left. That's not a correct statement. Sorry, Sandra. No, it's not. So what we looked at, we did talk to the publishers, and they're willing to give us, pay it over time, two payments. We think $125,000 could do it, because their worst case scenario was $150,000 for 2 years. So my guesstimate is this will cover everything that they need, and we'll be good. But you'd have to do this for 2 years. Then remember, they still have building allocations. I gave you that a long time ago. They already have money for textbooks. So this is that above and beyond. I didn't call it an initiative.
But that was for replacement.
For replacement, correct. I don't want to call this an initiative because this is a required thing. You really, really need to do this. So we just put it in the base budget. And we're asking you not to consider having us take it out. Now, we do have an initiative page that I will show you when we're done with this. And these are the extra things that we would like to have that you might want to think about. You can ask some clarification. But again, there's no decisions tonight because this is part of your budget discussion. Any other clarification? So, Sandra, what we did is we left this as 125. We're saying worst case would be about 150.
Where's the input?
So we think that might work. We just built it into the regular base budget. It's not an initiative. All right? Now, also, if you guys look in the second page, just to point out about interscholastic athletics and activities.
Yeah.
That's where it is, Steve. Remember we said the extra coach. You said again initially, and let you tell me to not do it. We already built in that additional coach, and when this time we wrote it out for modified softball, baseball, volleyball, and girls soccer. So there's no miscommunication about what we thought we did. That's in there. Also, that Model UN, we put the rental stuff for the conditioning of equipment. And again, under salaries, that's the fitness center. We're still assuming you want the same thing. That was a $10,000 amount, and the rest of it goes for pre-licensing and 5-hour. So again, this went up a little, only $493. See, we're really trying to be good about it. So in the scheme of things, this is additional support to the building and the community.
It's not that bad, really.
Of an increase, considering the cost of living went up in total was 3.2 to 3.4.
That's right, with price inflation.
Yeah, we're not bad. Okay. Next one is the initiatives, and I saved the best one for last, the reserve fund, because you might want to ask some clarification questions, because you don't want to wait till the last minute to talk about that. This one, these are the initiatives.
If we have a question on these, when do you want them?
Oh, no, you can ask me now. That's part of it.
Well, the problem we ended up having last year was boys soccer. I mean, just in case we have a problem with that, why aren't we putting that in here?
If that's something that the board wants as an example, and if you're saying right now, and I'm okay with that, saying to the athletic director, add the additional funds to do that, we can do that right now.
But it's just you're including every modified sport except that one particular boys soccer team. So we're telling everybody else they can do it except that one boys team, just in case they have the numbers.
Would you like us to do that? I mean, that's okay.
That's what we said last fall.
Yeah.
We said that loud and clear last fall.
Okay, so Ron, could you, as the business manager guy here, not to put me on the spot here, we are under the section, let's show Ron exactly.
28.5.
That was a good question.
That's the one we had the problem. Yeah.
Can I?
The 28.50, you want to add what now?
Boys modified soccer. And this is only on an if needed basis, right?
Right, that's correct.
Right.
So add boys modified soccer. Is that it?
Can I ask a question then for another discussion? Can you look the difference between the middle school current and projected enrollment? Because it looks like it's about a difference of about 17 kids. If that, if we would need all, not that we would need the boys, but would we need all the other ones? It's only contingent.
It's only contingent upon the need. It was just the only one that wasn't in there.
Well,
but it has to be put in the budget.
No, I understand that, but then we get in this argument about we have a slush fund and why somebody
it has to be
money
put
away
in the
that
budget.
We didn't need. So since he's got all this data, but I can't do the math that fast.
So you'll do that with the coach and make the wording so it reflects that.
Yeah, but these guys already know how many kids are enrolled in the modified. They have an idea.
Last year we got hurt by that.
Any other questions?
It's not signing up in time, all that kind of stuff.
Well, then. Be more streamed.
Can I switch gears to the initiative page? I just handed out the initiatives. Now we're keeping this as a separate thing. We're asking the initiatives to be increased.
That's what I think.
All right, everybody have one? You good?
Yeah, I got one. I'm sorry.
We're using the part in these apps already. They said they were going to come and make a formal presentation to the board. I said I'll put down the $15,000. They would like it again. When you have, I guess they'll probably come to the next meeting. And we're asking the board to consider these. And again, this again, it's up to you. We're saying this is what we would like to have as part of our base budget. Last year, we had $85,000 for initiatives, and we're asking for $61,000 more, and we're trying to make sure that our budgets are based. We're not trying to hide the fuel pumps, the water separator, or tractor. So we're saying that we would like to buy these things if we can afford to do these, and we hope we can. So under musical instruments, it's that. The curricular project is what we talked about before. We still have that money currently budgeted. If we get that stuff straightened out, you may not need this $10,000, or there may be another curriculum initiative that you haven't heard about yet.
Like on the oil and water separated fuel pumps, aren't those kind of necessary?
Yes and no. Well.
Well, if what you have breaks, you're going to have to fix it.
Oil and water separated didn't work.
Well, there's two ways to look at it. The oil and water separator, the DEC has been kind of letting me know for 3 years that they would really like to see it. Pumps, Kevin can explain that also because of the auditing, right?
Yeah, a lot to do with the comptroller, because you don't have a proper way of keeping track of fuel that's coming in and out of the pumps. And this, the pumps are pretty well wore out. People like, you go to the pump fuel, sometimes you got to wait a minute or seconds.
I'm saying this isn't this.
But this is going to digitally tell us who's taking it and how much.
I mean, this isn't really something that we can go forever and not do. We have to do it.
Yeah, but I guess the thing that we're looking to track this is, like, Don's budget and your budget, as well as yours, reflects what we currently need to run the show.
Right.
This is a one-shot deal. So the initiatives in our mind was, it's a one-shot deal. You can say yay or nay. So, yes, I would think that this is a good thing and you should do it, but maybe we don't need to do the curricular projects again because they had a one-shot deal. The money's still there. We didn't spend it.
That's what I mean. This isn't the rollover from that.
This
is an additional 10. Okay.
And I haven't heard about it. So what we're trying to keep up front to everybody, again, we don't want it buried in somebody's budget. Their budgets reflect minor increases because that's what it should be, plus or minus stuff.
When music... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. When music comes to...
Go.
Who can talk faster? No. When music comes to present, could you ask them to give us the follow-up from last year? Because maybe I missed that meeting. What they spent it on...
Yeah, I guess the Music Alliance was going to come and request, would we consider it?
Well, they did.
They did it one time. They told us
what it was for. They actually named the instruments. Yeah.
Risers.
They didn't really tell us how.
They didn't tell us how they spent the money after.
Yeah, but
they got the money. Well, it would be helpful.
So I guess what we wanted to show you and get some guidance on, these things, we're hoping you will leave them all in here. But an initiative is, Don doesn't get another $55,000 buried in his budget that he can roll over. This is trying to keep the rollover stuff up front. So we're saying the base budgets really need to roll over. This stuff does not. And that's what we're trying to be right up in front and telling you this, that yes, we think it's correct. Yes, we think we should do it. Some of these are list prices, and we hope to get them a little cheaper. And Don could really use the tractor. But if you say yes and the budget goes through and we buy them all, Don doesn't automatically get all that money next year. He has to justify why he would have to, let's buy another tractor or whatever. That's all. Just keep it up front. We're saying we have a basic budget in our school district. Does that kind of make sense? We're okay with leaving these things, and you could add more. They've asked their buildings a little, and they have most of the money to cover what they want, and they're reasonable based on their current program.
My question is, you said the building and grounds, if we approve it, he doesn't have to get the tractor, but isn't he asking, he's saying he needs one by having it in here?
No, he's saying the deal is he needs the tractor, he shouldn't put it on here. If he needs the tractor and it gets approved, that's the list price to go buy one. If it only costs $10,000, then the district gets to keep the other money.
So that
price is stated.
Right. Well, I just thought you were saying he didn't have to buy one if we approved it.
No, I meant that if you say
that he
doesn't get to buy one or keep $16,000 every year if it was buried in his budget.
Right.
It's a one-shot.
This is extra.
Yeah, these are extra because his normal budget covers what he normally needs to do for replacement, things like that. These are big ticket items. Now, it would be nice to get the pump and the oil water separator and all that. We could live a little longer without it, but sooner or later it's going to bite you and you're going to have to take money from something
more
else
longer.
Automatically.
It's not much of it.
But when you discuss reserve fund money, I'm sure you're figuring these one-time costs in with that and how much of that reserve money we can actually use.
Reserve is a completely different discussion.
Yes.
And we want to keep that out of it. This is saying that when we add up the whole budget, this is $61,000 more. What you're going to start to see is we're going to show you the fund balance next. Remember, your benefits went up about $500,000. You're only getting about $80 million or $78,000 in state aid extra. So, okay, so you got a bump there. And we're still trying to figure out, make sure we didn't do anything funny with us, all the people, staffing and salaries. Funny meaning we can't forget it. That's why we separated out the substitutes, not to lose that. It looks like a guesstimate, you may be talking close to worst case scenario about a million and a half going up because of salaries. So you have a million and a half there, you have a half a million for benefits, you only get an 80 from the state. Our budget stuff that we've shown you has not gone up a real lot. When you kind of do a plus and minus, it's not too bad. A couple things went up, a couple went down. The killer's benefits and salaries, no state aid, because you used to get a lot of state aid, every school district. And it's not that salaries are getting like really crazy. It's when you get less state aid and you have to take it out of your pocket for salaries, it hurts more. And everybody's having the same problem. Because our salaries are competitive. They're not the highest and they're not the lowest, except in some areas they are. Like teacher salaries, we're really competitive. I think the high end gender money is like 70-something thousand. That's comparable to the area. So we're not losing people. That's that part. Any questions there? Now, before I give you this reserve fund, because I thought you'd probably like this one. We need to
yes.
think about this.
Yes. We've been waiting for it.
I know.
I hope it's a pie chart.
No, it's just the regular like you had it before.
Bummer.
I'm going to give you this. What we have left to do is salaries to give you, but you can't get them now because we don't have it all reconciled. We're going to finish the salaries. We're going to give the guesstimate on special ed, and we're going to double-check our staffing template, and then basically we're done. One of the assumptions we did, and I said this before, we're rolling over our budget, and what we want to do is there are like three positions say we don't need. We took people out of grants. In the template, when you see staffing, Sue has her reading teacher. I already put it in there. Because again, the hope is we can roll it over. You're also going to see when we talk about the grants that we took hopefully three people out of grants because we're going to assume we're getting less. So we got all those things covered that we needed in our current budget. It's whatever happens with BOCES. Again, our projections for aid and our projections for benefits are a little on the high side. So hopefully they'll come in lower and it won't be as bad. With that said, Frank.
I have one question on staffing.
Yes,
are you going to leave the, I forgot how you worded it last year, the two teachers
in
reserve again this year in case you have an influx of
right now, our
elementary students?
No. And the reason is we looked at our numbers enough. Our bigger concern is we think we can absorb students, okay? Our bigger problem is we're going to get hit probably for grants. And again, your budget can go through because the grant funding has nothing to do with this local budget. We have 17 people, if I remember correctly, in grants currently. We're trying to get it down to 14. Used to have a lot more. Every year we try to pull a couple back. Yeah, because it's going to hurt if that ever happens. So I think that's being fiscally prudent to do that right now.
It hurts if it ever happens, but it's still physically prudent to apply for as many grants as we can get and get
the
grant money.
But with the grants, the reason why they're cutting back is the grants were supposed to be for supplemental purposes, not to supplant. We have classroom teachers currently in grants that if all the money went away, you'd be short classroom teachers, and you would have to hire them.
I understand that, but still, grant money is not money that's raised by local taxpayers.
And if we had more grant money, that's where we'd like to give Sue the person. That's where we'd like to do a whole bunch of other things.
Mark, anyone more?
We'll get the money. He has on his computer, too, right?
All right.
Yeah, now, for the district clerk, by the way. This is for the rest of the group. And again, these all say draft. Now, this is where you may want to ask, and it's okay, not that we want to make this real long. And again, this is not your formal budget, but you need to start thinking about this, and if you have some questions, that's why Jen's here and everybody else is here, give us some direction. So what you're reading is, you see that we took $750, now you got to pay attention to that part, to balance our budget. You heard me say we have an approximately worst-case scenario, kind of, guessing. $1.5 to $2 million shortfall, not counting money you need to. You got to do something with designated, balanced to budget type of an approach. So looking at this, you go, oh, cool. We have $3.4 million left that we can do something with. Maybe, maybe not. And that's what I think that Jen can talk about a little, or if you want some clarification, it's projections. You have bills. You have other things that come in. You're going to have money left. It's going to be more than $1 million. Jen?
What's the
game? I mean, at the
this year.
For this year.
Now, we still have last year's,
This is last year.
This is last year's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we're looking at last year's that we're.
We're talking about how much would you take of this balance issue?
Cause what we're gonna give you later, again, this is just the current state, this is what we have, then later, we're gonna make another chart saying, here's what we think you're gonna need by the end of the year to balance it up, to add it all up. We didn't do that yet, cause we need you to start thinking about, again, it's gonna be, do you wanna apply any of this to balance the budget, yes or no? If so, how much? And if you do, that impacts on the tax rate. Also, that's why we wanted you to think about this, because the more you apply, it does help, but the more you take away, the less you have in case something happens. And if you rely on this all the time, it will go away sooner or later, and then it's all gonna be off the backs of the taxpayers.
Are we gonna, you gonna give us like you did last year, that, you would tell us like if you put 750 down, that, what would that do to the tax rate?
Yes.
The increases in, benefits and salaries, that's when you're gonna give us that the next time, right?
We gave you, salaries, right, we're working on, correct?
I mean, yes, I mean, the total staff complement and all that.
Cause that's the biggest thing, like, when, we were talking before, that's the most people.
Yeah, so the part B question I had was, then that amount, the projected increase, will we be able to see a table that reflects that included? Cause this doesn't account for the projected increase in benefits and salaries.
No, I guess the thing you have to look at, this is different, this is your reserve. When we gave you.
Well, if we, yeah, but if we had to pay that, you know what I'm saying?
But I guess what you have to look at, I'm not trying to confuse people, we're giving you different pieces of the budget.
Right.
We told you how much we know for benefits for salaries, we're trying to reconcile the salaries and tell you how much people are getting because of raises and all that.
Yeah.
Then we'll be able to add and say, right now we have a 33-point-something million budget.
Yeah.
We're gonna give you a projection, worst case scenario, and say it may be 35, it may be 36.
Okay.
But we're trying to clean that up. Once we know that, then Richard, we can go back to what you're saying. If you took, if you had $1 million, what would it do to the tax rate? If you went 750 or 2 million. Remember what the comptroller said when he was here, since we're a little at risk with our finances, because you used to rely heavily on this to balance the budget, he's recommended leave $1 million just to sit there, right? For undesignated, regardless of what you do to balance your budget. So there's two different issues. What do you want to have left over? Just by law, I'm supposed to have 2%. We talked about $1 million, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, we all right so far?
That's what he said.
So you're looking at the undesignated total. Ideally, would be good to leave $1 million there, but then what do you want to do with the other piece? Apply it towards the tax rate, do this, do that.
Parts of it.
You have to be careful. Yep. Or buy stuff.
Or you can earmark it for projects.
Yeah, you can do anything you want. But the thing we have to watch is, once you rely on, what'd you say?
Well, you have to look to the future, too. If you get it down to $1 million, then to balance your budget for 08, 09, there is no money to help with the tax rate. It's gone.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
So you can't.
But the auditor's telling us we can only have so much there anyway.
Well.
I mean, we can't carry $3 million from now on forever. They won't let us.
No. Well, that's true.
They won't let us.
We've done it for a lot of years.
Well, that's not entirely true.
No, it's not entirely true.
We've done it for a lot of years.
We've always done it. They will.
Right.
They want us to meet ourselves.
We will always get noted in our audit that we have more than the recommended 2%.
But we're not alone.
But every district does.
Every district does.
When the comptroller audited us, he did indicate that if we didn't have
at least
a certain amount in the fund balance, he would then write us up the other direction and say, you're not fiscally stable. So.
Putting yourself in distress.
Right. Yeah. And
well, then basically what we need from either you or Jen is how much should we have?
Right.
Well,
yes,
you will have a recommendation.
Yeah. Now, we're going to bring that, the next board meeting, we're going to have the total dollar amount projected again. Because remember, we really don't know state aid. We really don't have a lot of 100% figures on the benefits. And when we do the numbers, we do the worst case scenario. We're going to hope that $500,000 for benefits will not be that high. So once I find out from BOCES next week the real health insurance, we're going to lower that cost. So you'll get updated documents when we get that.
But isn't there a chance that we could get more aid too? Because I know that the last thing that we never know until the end, that one that we narrow.
Sound basic data.
Yeah, yeah.
It all can change depending upon how the legislation
feels. But you can't.
No,
we can't
depend.
We got
to. We can pray a little.
Yes. We have a new governor too, Spitzer, and from what I hear, he's being very, very fiscal, and a lot of municipalities are very concerned about what kind of aid they're going to see. state budget.
It was talked about raising the aid by billions.
Not here.
Not here.
No.
New York.
Yeah, New York.
So with that, based on the reserve, this is your current reserve. We will end up giving you the projected fund balance, and that's part of what you need to know and what that means for the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, you said we're not going to get a real number from any tax people until April, right?
Right.
So
the assessments aren't even done yet for Lincoln.
So now, for new board members, what you have to remember, this is like right down to the wire. We're going to give you a budget. Let's say it's $36 million. I'm making up the numbers. We don't know right now, right? But it could be. If it's $36 million, we have to wait and get the assessments, do all that. So right before you vote on the budget, we can change that total budget once we get real numbers.
Yep.
So if the assessments are going to come in higher, lower, we get more state aid. Our idea is that's why it's all computerized. This is worst case. If we get more money, of course we want to reduce the tax rate and do stuff. It'd be great if we can keep the tax rate low and take some money and buy some stuff and do things. That would be great. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed, but it's okay. Remember, when I present the formal budget, my formal, which is informal to you, it's all these pieces put together. It's like now you can see the big picture. Now we go for a month and you talk about it. What do you want to do? How do you want it to look? If we don't get the aid and the money, where should we look for reducing things? Do we go to the taxpayers or do we touch what we currently have? You have a month to talk about it. When you vote on it for real, which is April 15th, is that what it is?
Eyes of April.
Sorry? I can't see anything. April 3rd, you adopt the proposed budget. Then that makes it like for real. The thing that's tricky is we may not have the real number before you do that. We're going to try like heck. If we can get the real number, it'll make everybody's life easier. But they said sometime in the beginning of April, we'd get it from the towns. Are we going to get any real stuff from the governor by then?
No.
That's where it gets hard. It's all of our collective best guess expertise of what it may do.
So when we vote on it in April, or May, whatever we're doing,
April.
Then if the assessments come in different, then we have to adjust the rate?
Yes.
Downwards in September.
Upwards or downwards?
October.
August.
One of those.
In August.
August.
One of those warm months.
To tell people you want more money because they don't remember that it went lower. It'd be better if we could have the better number.
Right.
You know, what you should do when you talk to legislators and other people is it would be nice if they had a better schedule.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Assessments were done early or delay when we have to vote on our budget till after the assessments are in. I mean, that
whatever
would be
happened
big to have a real number. And that's what we would appreciate that you guys as board members do when you get to lobby. Tell them. Let's get a better calendar. We could wait later. Like, we could vote for the end of May, but you have to adopt a budget so many days before. That's what messes it up.
Why don't they put in, why doesn't as a school board, this school board could write up a resolution for school boards coming up in October of getting for them to lobby for a better calendar and the assessments done earlier. And this school board could write up the resolution.
Great idea.
And send it in.
Great idea.
And see if anybody else comes on board.
So as far as we're concerned, our last project to give you, and it would probably just be given to you when we go to get together again. BOCES we're not going to have until after we have our meeting. So we're going to guess that BOCES is going up 4%. Now, we will get that cleaned up before you vote on the budget, so hopefully that will drop because it's a guesstimate. So 4% of $3 million is a lot of money. But our goal is not to cut program, but to see if we can reconcile this and find out what we need to change that. Salaries we'll put together in the staffing template and the projected fund balance. Those I'll go over a little when we get together, but basically we're just going to redo the whole presentation from beginning to end. I'll put together a notebook for you guys that you don't have to bring all your old papers. It'll be the newest version. I'll take draft off because that's what you're going to use. So if people say to you in the community, what's going on with the budget? What are we doing? You go around and say, okay, can you afford? What do people want to do? You can see our budget is basic. It's not padded. There's not a lot of stuff.
And that'll be on it'll be on our webpage.
Yeah, it'll be on the webpage when we're all done with it. Then later on, when we vote on the budget, I'll do one more formal presentation where we recap for the public how we did all this and what it means for the tax rate and what they can do to get a hold of people and what you did for STAR and senior citizens exemptions. We'll put that out again. So this is like the making of the budget. Now it's up to the collective board to decide which way you want to go with the total dollar amount.
Is there any way to put the proposed reading initiative and the proposed long-term plan for Garth's presentation on the web? Or is that too, do people think that's too risky?
Well, if we're done with it, you say, what are you getting for your money? Like, what's in this budget? One of the things we're going to talk about is a new reading series. We're going to look at this other project. We're going to talk about the things in the middle school initiative. So those presentations could be put on as integrated in the formal board presentation and then put on the web to say, here's what you're getting for your money. This is what's in this budget. And you can see, here are all the coaches, here are all the positions, here are all the people. And the only people we're making go away, and you will look at that in the staffing template, if we don't need a person, we're going to look at reducing them through attrition, which means as a vacancy exists, we're really analyzing, do you need it? And we're having discussions. Technology position has been vacant. We think we can probably get away with not filling it. But again, we want to roll over the money because that's how we're paying for some of these other things. And we think that may not hurt. Those are things you're going to look at in the budget document later on when you see the staffing template. You'll see what we currently have and what we're projecting. You'll see a couple FTEs. I think it went down about 3 or 4. I don't remember. But in the budget, we didn't cut them out because that's what we need to do for the grants. So if he has questions, you can let us know. And if it's too much for us to afford, you only got a couple places. If we don't get the money externally from government, either the people pay for it, we have to reduce program, we have to reduce staff. And staff is programming. All right? So I don't have anything else for my presentation. Any other questions for me? Any other questions generally for the group that we brought? And they will be here at all our budget meetings and hearings to answer any questions that you or people have.
Who's going to bring Karen up to date to explain all this stuff?
And she gets a copy of the tape.
I am done, sir.
Copy of that.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to ask everyone to reflect on Mr. Trombley's passing. Take a moment. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank the office staff for coming tonight. And I know it's extra duty for them. I appreciate them being here. Thank you.
Duly noted.
Thank you.
Duly noted. That's all we have for tonight. Yes.
Have a
question?
I have something I'd probably have to discuss in executive session really quickly.
Okay, you are asking for an executive session. Okay.
What's the purpose?
Do we have to have the purpose, right?
You have to have a purpose. You can't just say.
It's either got to be
personal
or
negotiations.
Contractual or there's a third one.
Personnel or personnel contract?
It has to do with money and that, like land or whatever with the lawyer. I forget what that is.
Like lawsuits.
Lawsuits.
It's up to you.
I don't really know what it falls under.
Is it a personnel issue?
A person, though.
Is it personnel?
I don't really know.
Okay. Well, then just.
All right.
There's no need to.
Can this be discussed in the next meeting?
No.
Can we formulate and discuss that?
No, it's going to be on. It'll be gone by.
Well, why don't you get started if
all right.
It deems necessary to.
You're not going to name an individual, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
They're going to have, I assume they're having the funeral tomorrow for the bus driver. Is there a problem with them having a bus there? Like they do, like the other people have passed, so like if they work for Agway, they'll have an Agway truck there or something. Is there a problem with them having one there?
You mean like to have
this
individual bus driver's bus there as a symbol of him?
Yeah. I understand that there was someone requested that they could have it there, and they were told they couldn't.
Now, the request was, could all the bus drivers drive over in a bus so they don't have to take their cars? And the answer was, no, you can't really use taxpayers' transportation to go to something like that. We can't do that.
Yeah, but I asked about that, and they said, no, the intent was to have it there because he drove one.
That was not the question.
No,
he's saying no, too, because Dan was the one that asked.
But are you asking if they could have a bus there to symbolize this person's service?
Not to bring everybody there, but a bus there as a courtesy.
Dan, do you wanna?
The request I had was for them to have a bus there to go down.
Was that possible to do that?
Yeah, could we just have a bus driver take one there if it's requested for the funeral?
Is the...
Dan, was the request for all the drivers to get on the bus and use it for transportation?
No, that'd be different.
Yeah, but they probably thought that if they could use, if they were gonna take it anyway, then why would they drive it?
Yeah, but you couldn't do that because it's...
Yeah, I understand that, but could they just have it there, someone drive it there?
So I guess, Dan, if you had a person that would volunteer to take the bus there...
Volunteer the driver.
Right.
Yeah, and if you would, like, if you wanted to be that person, and you're the one driving the bus, and you wanna leave that there as a symbolic thing, there's no reason...
Maybe an hour or so, just long enough for the...
Right, I mean...
Because they're doing a lot now. I've seen someone was in Agway, and they got...
But that's not what was asked.
I mean, that's...
Under those, the insurance issue with that.
Yeah, so if he's just driving the bus and he's allowed to do that, and, yeah. Yes, then that's okay with us if it's okay with you, but that was not the question.
Yeah, I understand it might not have been, but what I think they said that, they said, well, if we're gonna ask to do it, maybe we have to write it, and I understand that's a problem.
Okay.
But if they just request that it's there, it can be done.
Can you make that happen?
Okay, thank you.
But that was not the request you had, though.
Yeah, I understand that they might not have said it the right way.
Thank you for bringing that up, Richard.
Okay.
Because tomorrow will be where he's at.
Right.
Dan, the question is, they want his bus to be there.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, it would be his...
His bus, that he used to drive, the bus number?
Reasonable request.
And I understand that they probably worded it incorrectly, but I would like to see that, thank you. I make a motion to come out of executive.
That's not exactly...
Make a motion to adjourn. I didn't...
Make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, second. Thank you, George, at 9:03.
Should we vote?
All in favor?
Aye.
Ms. Bain, noes? Thank you for coming.